As Alan said, it's good to see each one here this morning. We're thankful to have this opportunity to meet together to worship God in spirit and truth. We have some back this morning that's been sick the last few services and unable to attend, and we're certainly glad to have you back with us today. This morning, if you'd like to turn, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'd like to read verses 9 through 12 for the base of our lesson. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning verse 9. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. Some very good instruction for any generation at any time on this earth, for any group of people, no matter whether they may be rich, poor, great, or small, whatever ethnic background they may come from. Good instructions for us all, because it comes from God, number one. Number two is that He's given these instructions to Christians and how that we ought to walk in our lives, to be the type of people that God would want us to be, that we would love one another as we should. So the first thing is that we would have the proper love toward God, toward others, and toward ourselves, so that we might not only love ourselves enough to do what God asked us to do so we can please Him by living a good life, but be a good example to others and love others enough then to share the gospel with them and to be a good example to others and to try to lead others to Christ and to love others enough to treat others the way they should be treated. And so love is a very important subject. But this morning, I want to talk about verses 11 and 12 for a few minutes. This lesson probably doesn't apply to anyone in this building this morning. Matter of fact, I think it probably doesn't apply to anyone here that you would need to make any changes, because I think everyone here are people who have been diligent in your life to work and hold down jobs, provide for your families, help other people, contribute to the Lord's work. You're not afraid of work. But the lesson is to remind us that there are a lot of people in the world today, maybe more so than ever in the history of man, people who do not believe that they have to work, people who are being programmed to believe that there's no need to work, that they can live on handouts. And so the reason for this lesson is that recently I've heard people on the telephone, in conversations myself, in conversations I've heard other people having, and in numerous places, out in public, in business, in homes, in gatherings of the church, I hear people talking about the problem that they're seeing. You go through McDonald's and you don't get those two French fries that were supposed to go with that Big Mac. You go to a sit-down restaurant and you got to wait 2 hours and then the service is pulled. You go to the grocery store and they want you to go through a self-checkout with 100 items. There is a problem. There's a problem. And we see that. And some people have asked the question, what is the problem? You just can't get any service anymore. You take your car to get it serviced and they'll say, we're sorry, we can't get to it till day after tomorrow. We'll put you on the waiting list. Well, you get up there day after tomorrow and you go in there and they check it out and they say, well, it's going to need this part and we won't be able to get it for 2 weeks. Got to wait. It's a waiting game. We've all had experiences in our life where we had to wait. But one of the problems today is that there's a lack of people to work, to hold down jobs, to be industrious, to keep things moving. God planned that man from the very beginning. When He put man in the garden, He told him to dress and keep it. That included work. So God put things in motion from the very beginning with the first man and woman, that one thing that man would do that was very important is that, number one, he would listen to the words of God and obey God and not eat the fruit of the forbidden tree in the midst of the garden, but he would also work. Work. And so this morning we think about work. And so when we have discussions with people today and we have all these questions and and people want answers, and we don't have the answers, and they don't have the answers. One thing we can say is that people are just not obeying God's commands in the Bible to work. So for whatever reason today, that there may be people that are not working. Now, I'm not talking about people that are disabled and are unable to hold down a job. I'm not talking about people who've worked their whole life for 50 years and now they're no longer able to hold down a job and should be able to live off of something that they earned over the years to be able to sit down and rest. I'm not talking about that. But we're talking about people who are healthy people that ought to be learning to work, learning to hold down a job, but they don't. So as Christians, if we know the problem that we're seeing is caused by a lack of people to work, and we know that a lack of people to work is not because it's not bodies to work, it's the willingness of people who are in bodies through their mind to work that's causing the shortage. It's causing the shortage. If it was a problem of bodies, then our government that we're on today would have solved that problem in the last 3 years of the hundreds of thousands of people that's come into our nation and put them to work, but yet they're not working. They're living in places that are being provided by our tax money and by other people's tax money and not working, many of them. So people need to work. Paul said that you also aspire to lead a quiet life. Quiet life. Think about that. A man that gets up in the morning and goes to his job, he may have a job that involves more of the use of his mind than it does the strength of his body. Another man may go to his job and it requires more of the strength of his body than it does the function of his mind, although he needs his mind to make the functions of his body work to perform his job. And so there's physical, there's mental work, and it all combined together, and we're using our minds and our bodies, as God said, to aspire to lead a quiet life. When people get up and they go to work and they mind their own business and they make their own living and they provide for their own family and they do what they should do, earning a living, and they do what they should with the earnings they make, then things will be quieter on this earth. If you'll notice, the disturbances that come up in our nation and so often around the world are by people that they're not working. They're not working. They just seem like they're professional protesters. And so to have a quiet and peaceful life, it involves the attitude of, why am I here? Well, I'm here to obey God. Believing Him, serve Him, share His word with others, and be a good person following His will. And part of that is aspiring to live a quiet and peaceful life and work. Work with our hands. Also aspire to lead a quiet life and to mind your own business. That's another problem. There are people today that are involved in other people's business and they want to get their nose in other people's business and they want to give other people what they think they ought to have. So the government sometimes, they're not minding their own business as a government. They're minding the business of what they want people to be. So they program people to say, you don't really have to work. We'll send you a check. You don't really have to pay for your education, although your parents work for their education and they help their children and their children work for their education. You don't have to work for years. We're going to give you a free ride. So when people get free education, free food, basically free housing, and they get money given to them every month to buy groceries with, and then they get free insurance and free other things, you ask the question, why would they want to work? Well, the basic answer is because God commands it. Because it's the right thing to do. To work. To work earnestly and honestly and diligently to hold down a job. So let's talk about working for a little while. As I mentioned, God required from the very beginning that man should work. Genesis 2:15 and Genesis 3:19 have already covered that point. And it's required now. 1 Thessalonians 4 that we just read, verses 11 and 12, it is required of us today. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. There's a lot of people in behind bars that committed the crime of theft years ago. And most of that's because it was a major theft. Maybe they stole from corporations. Maybe they made a big heist. But now today, why would people want to work and not steal when they've raised the minimum amount that someone can steal and you can even do anything with them? They go into stores. They can steal up to $1,000 without any repercussions. If the police come, they say, we can't do anything with them. We can't do anything with them. Why? Well, it's just a misdemeanor. We don't prosecute misdemeanors anymore. So it's got to be a felony. And so they keep raising it higher and higher so it's not a felony, so you can't prosecute these people. So what do they fear? They don't fear being punished. So they mob and they rob. And they go in, they take a store, and they just take it by mass force, 7,500 people. The other day, a friend of ours, a relative of ours, was in the store in Birmingham area. She's moved to that area recently from Coleman, Alabama. And she was there, and she was telling her mother, she said, oh, she called her mother, and she said, you're not going to believe what happened. She said, I was in this store shopping, and this man came by, and he just picked stuff up and put it in his pockets and stole a bunch of stuff off the shelf and walked right in front of me. And she said, I almost slapped him down, but I held back. You know, said, I wanted to get the money. Said he went right by the cashier out the door, and one of the managers was standing there. And they didn't say a word. And said, I asked them, I said, are you not going to stop that man? And they said, oh, no. We're not allowed to stop him. You know why? Because the company they work for will be held liable if they lay a hand on them before they go through that register or before they go out the door. And if they chase them into the parking lot, they can't do that anymore, because if I catch a shoplifter and get him on the ground and hold him like I did 15, 20, 30 years ago numerous times, and hold the guy, me and two or three others, till the police get there and have him arrested, and he gets punished, if I did that today, I'd be the one that got put in jail. Because all he'd say is, you are going against my rights. You hurt my feelings. So you need to be arrested. So why are people not working? Failure to obey God's will. Failure to obey God's will. Well, number three, God approves honest work because he condemns idleness and laziness. Proverbs chapter 19. Turn over there and let's read just a few verses, please, if you will. Proverbs 19. We have two or three different verses in Proverbs, if you'll notice. We're starting Proverbs 19 and verse 15. Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. You know, that says a lot, doesn't it? If society worked like it should, a person that's lazy and asleep and is idle, they'd feel the pains of not working because they'd go hungry, because they won't get up and work. I'm not talking about disability, or aging people, or children that's too young. I'm talking about the working age. Men and women. What causes problem? Being idle. There's a lot of people that's able-bodied that could be working that are idle. It's amazing how many young adults between the age of 19 and 35 are still living in their parents' homes or in the basement. Still going to college, still basically doing nothing. College is something, but they're not working. Some of them don't even go to college. They're just living at home. So, well, you can say that it's the fault of the parents. Well, it may be partly the fault of the parents, because they didn't bring the child up wrong. They didn't make them understand that when you get to a certain age, you've got to hold your own bootstraps up and go out and go to work. The Bible says that there's a problem with idleness. Over in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Turn over there. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Solomon says, Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there's no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. So what's part of the things we're to do while we're alive is to work. Matthew 20 and verse 6 talks about the fact that working is something that people ought to do. Matthew 20 and verse 6. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all the day? Jesus gave the parable, the illustration that people need to be working. If there's an opportunity for employment, take that. Hire people. Go to work. Romans 12 and 11. Turn over there. Romans 12 and verse 11. Actually, Romans 12 talks about a lot of things concerning the Christian life, but when you get down to verse 11, it says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. This is talking about working for the Lord, but lagging in diligence, lagging in service, that can apply to anything, not just spiritual. And so God approves hard work while condemning idleness and laziness. Well, God's word governs the working relationship of the master and servant. He wants us to work. He gives the layout of how it ought to be for employee and employer. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 11. 5 through 9. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. Bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So the Christian is to be serving God from the heart, doing his will, obeying God every day. But when the Christian is obligated to someone else, whether it's a bond servant or an employee for an employer, what are we to do? We're to work heartily. We're to be trustworthy. With good will, doing services to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you, masters, he even talks about those that have control over the ones that are under them, that are serving them. And you, masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there's no partiality with him. So the working relationship between the bond servant and the master, between the employer and the employee ought to be that the employee gives the employer a good and honest day's work for his wage, and that the master pays that employee a good and honest wage for the work he's doing and treats him fairly. You see, God planned for us to work, and he laid out how it ought to work. He planned for us to work. Well, the Bible calls upon us as Christians to refuse those who will not work. You notice that? We talked about not including in this those that are not physically or mentally able to work. Or they've gone through the time of working, where they no longer can physically hold up. So the Bible calls upon us to refuse those who will not work. What if the world in general and society refuse those who will not work and penalize them with time served in prison or jail for stealing from other people? What if that happened? I believe you'd see less theft, less people involved in crimes, and more people working. What would that do to our economy? All these politicians tell you how to solve all these problems and fix your economy. God just told us how to do it. Go to work. Be an honest employer. Be an honest employee. Work. Work. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Really, when Paul wrote to Timothy, he gave instructions concerning everything from the home to the basic fundamentals of society to obeying God and spiritual things also. First Timothy chapter 5, beginning in verse 11 and going through verse 13. But refuse the younger with us, for when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry. So what's Paul doing here? The question came up about helping widows. And certainly the church should help widows. Widows indeed, those that are above the age of 60 years, having had a husband and having fulfilled the things she should do. Certainly, if she's a widow indeed or a widow in need, a widow that meets the criteria of being in want or needing some things and can't get it herself, the church should help her. But, those younger widows that are still able to work and still able to provide and still able to do, let their families take care of those and let the families take care of the others also. So the church be not burdened. So it calls upon Christians to, if someone just is out there, don't just help them just because they don't have a job. If they can get a job, then they should be working. It's a different thing if they can't get a job. But refuse the younger widows, for when they have become to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith. And besides, they learn to be idle. Here you go. Idle. Wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. So when a person is not gainfully employed, or a person is not gainfully doing the work they're supposed to be doing, whether it's housework or yard work or industrial work or commercial work, whatever it is, they have more time on their hands and they get involved in things they ought not to be doing. The Bible solves the problem. Fix it by working. Well, let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, if you will, please, verses 10 through 14. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Where did Paul get that information? From God, from the Holy Spirit. That tells me that if I want to eat, I need to work. I'm thankful that I look at my grandchildren now. And the ones who have children that are 3 and 4 and 5 and 6, 7 and 8 years old, our great-grandchildren, they are being taught by their mom and daddy to work. They're teaching them how to clean up after themselves, to put up their toys, to make their beds, to clean their room, to rake grass. They're teaching them how to plant fruits and vegetables and how the seed grows. And when it grows, you got to nurture it and you got to take care of it, work the soil, and you got to fertilize it, and then you got to use that. And what do you get from that? You get food. You get okra and squash and corn and apples. You get fruit because what you've worked, you've worked. They're teaching them the value of work. And that may be one of the problems we're seeing today in the United States, why there's so many people that won't work. Maybe the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years, somewhere or another, something slipped by some people and they didn't teach their children to work. People became prosperous. They had good jobs. Both man and wife were making good money. They had good homes, good cars to drive in, comfortable, could take 3 vacations a year. And so they gave their children everything they wanted. They never had to work. When you came up, you had to work. Had to work. Trying to work. Well, Christians need to participate in honest and honorable work. Again, Romans 12, 17. Look back to it. When Paul wrote to the church at Rome, we've already mentioned some things, but Romans 12, 17, let's look at it again. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Regard for good things. A good thing is to be willing to work for a living. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 21. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 21. Here again, the Apostle Paul says this, providing honorable things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. That covers just about everything, whether it be spiritual or physical. We ought to be working. Work is essential for us if we're going to provide for ourselves and our family. 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 12 pointed out the fact that a man ought to work. If he don't work, neither should he eat. He needs to provide for his family. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 and verse 16. Provide for his family. So, there's responsibility laid on the shoulders of men to work for a living. There's responsibility laid on the shoulders of women to be workers in the home and with a home and with a husband, to help in bringing up with the children, to raise the children, to care for the children, to make sure they're fed, to make sure they're trained, to making sure they're led in the right direction. So, honorable work is very important. And so, we think about considering the work that we've talked about this morning, physical work. We need to also consider the aspect of the fact that we're to work in a secular sense, a work to help provide us that we can have food, clothing, and shelter. And then we need to be busy working spiritually every day, doing the works that God has told us to do spiritually to serve Him. Worshiping God, serving Him, praying to Him, teaching others, sharing the Word of God with others. So it's a mental and physical work we're to do, both spiritually and physically. So when we put first things first, according to Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 33, when we seek first the kingdom of God, we'll learn to put our trust in Him. And if we put our trust in Him, we'll lean on His Word for what's right. And when we learn what's right from God's Word, we'll be people that work and won't be afraid of work and won't be afraid to teach their children to work. Society in general, including myself, every individual, every family, people in government, people in public, people in society, people in business, people around the world, need to heed the Word of God, because it instructs that we be workers, that we do honorable work, that we obey God. So there's spiritual work and secular work to do. So with all the hoopla and all the talk that's going on about, look at all the problems we've got, you can't get anything fixed, you can't get anything shipped, and you can't go get service anymore. It all boils down to one thing. Disobedience to God, because God tells us that word. Hope I hadn't bored you with this lesson, because you knew all these things before I started this morning. Just want to encourage you to not give up, and maybe we share this with other people and they'll understand that if we go back to the true guide, which is God, we can resolve some of the problems we're facing today.